Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, a smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we have special guests Josh, Anya, and Scooter from the DC Geeks podcast. A lot of fun sitting around talking with them about comics, New Zealand franchise idea, and other money-making schemes, and just all sorts of nerdy goodness. So, it was a lot of fun. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kaepernick.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Welcome to episode 70 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kaepernick.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And this is the show that is so popular you've never even heard of it. Today we are joined by three special guests here as we're sitting kind of powwow style. Like, I don't know, it feels kind of like an AA meeting or something, or some sort of support group. A support group for podcasters, perhaps.
Hello, my name is Brian and I'm an alcoholic.
Well, we can get into that.
We've all written you these letters. No?
Let's introduce
I have the best friends in the world.
We are joined by Scooter, Anya, and Josh from the DC Geeks podcast and website. And I'm sure you guys do a whole bunch of other stuff, too, which you'll be happy to tell us about.
Oh, yeah. Gladly, gladly.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
So where do you want to start as far as that goes?
What are you? What is DC Geeks?
So we style ourselves as a news organization, I would say, for the DC area, for anything that's nerd-related, or something that nerds would like, we'll put it that way.
Another way to describe it is sort of like an event blog, is how it started out. I mean, it's expanded, and we've started talking about different things going around that aren't necessarily event-based. But it started as the idea of there's so much going on around DC, and even up as far as, you know, Baltimore, or just driving distance within around DC, that there's no excuse for somebody who is geeky to sit at home and go, oh, there's nothing that I like going on this week. Mm-hmm. And that's a little ridiculous. So it was just sort of a compilation of all these different awesome things going on.
Yeah. Does each of you have a particular specialty, or are you just kind of all in the general nerdiness?
PR and social networking is good.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think we all have different... You mean as far as general geek interests, or different like beats that we cover when we're doing...
Either one. Either if you have particular roles you play, or if each of you has kind of a particular niche or niche that you like to that you fill.
I tend to be very socially aggressive. This is Scooter. I tend to be very socially aggressive, we'll say. So I go to a lot of events. I talk to people. I was actually the one who ended up meeting you guys in the first place.
Yes.
We met Scooter during the press day of Art of Video Games. It was you and me. You, me, Tim, and Ben.
I wasn't there for
and
the
And then you guys showed up
opening.
Day two. So,
I remember you guys. I remember you telling me about that.
Yes.
So I guess I kind of tend to be the one of the main public faces, you could say, for DC Geeks. Anya is a strong public face for that, as well as Josh, but I'm the one that tends to hunt down people and tell them, we're interviewing you, and this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So give me time.
Everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
a lot of people too.
Everybody. Anyway, but I would say I started out, as far as my niche in DC Geeks, as a writer, and then it was writing, and I have an interest in photography, so I started doing some of that, and then it was writing and photography and editing and writing and photography and editing and podcasting, and then so now I've kind of turned it down to focusing in on really getting to do the podcast and making sure that the event post goes out each week that has a nice summary of, you know, here's six or seven things that are going on around the city.
Three things?
You're,
I mostly get talked down.
I was going to say, you're the support. You're like, yeah, you kind of work as support and backup for all of the other different aspects of DC.
Yeah, like, well, at conventions, for example, if there's a couple of very photogenic events going on, I'll get the spare camera and head off to do photography while she's at the main event. Or we've got holes in the publishing schedule, I'm the one that'll pound out a couple of articles to sort of plug in and fill in. Or just doing the podcast with these two or interviews, things like that, so...
So what are some events that you've covered recently? We know Art of Video Games, but what else?
Recently, what have we actually...
I was thinking...
What have you done for us recently?
Because for a while there, at the beginning of the year, we just had this incredibly con-heavy schedule that was just, like, 2 months, where every other weekend or every weekend was a different con, to the point where I could probably get up to National Harbor with my eyes closed. But recently it's been focusing more on sort of networking outside of the events and doing getting together with individuals and other groups.
I've been trying to drum up a lot of interviews lately, trying to get in you know, other podcasts like y'all, or trying to find local groups, because there are a lot of local special interest groups that, weirdly enough, you people that have the same interests may not know about. Like, I not quite geek, but you know, I'm a brewer, for example. Oh, I had no clue that there was a brew club in my local area until I started poking around and found that there was this huge, like, hundreds of members strong club in my area. I had no clue at all. So we've been doing a lot of sort of hunting down special interest groups, trying to find people in them that are willing to talk about who they are, what they do, how they treat new members, things like that. Just trying to basically put out tools out there so people can network and find like-minded folks on their own. So.
We also have done two things recently. The first was just, we did an interview with Craig over at Game Parlor Chantilly, which was awesome, and that'll be coming out. The podcasts are going to be staggered, so that'll be coming out this Wednesday. But then the other thing that we've done was the Shawarma and Avengers event, which was awesome.
Yes! Tell us about that.
Well, it started out as we were sitting around doing the podcast and we were like, oh my god, we need to watch Avengers again and we should have shawarma afterwards. And then it was, oh, I know a theater that's near a shawarma place. And then it was, well, let's just put it on the Facebook and see how many people show up.
We had 20 people show up.
25 people show up.
Which kind of scared the shawarma people because we showed up and they were like, yeah, well, our kitchen's closing in 3 minutes.
Well, we showed up.
There's a little hole in the wall place.
Well, we thought it was when we got there, and it's actually a nice sit down place.
Yeah, I expected, like, you know, basically going, I'll have this size plastic tub with that color sauce. Instead, it was.
Cut some of that meat off and put it in styrofoam.
But it was a nice Mediterranean / Indian place, and it was. And we got there 20 minutes before they closed. And we looked
at each other and went, we are going to tip for this.
Yeah.
Everyone swear by that or you're out now.
But you and I were the first ones to leave, and we left 40 minutes after the close of the restaurant. They just
let us stay. The takeaway is do as we say, not as we do. Please don't do that.
Are you guys explicit? Like, is there a cursing on
you? No, go ahead.
You can curse whatever you want.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
We don't give a fuck.
Exactly. What the fuck?
You know, from what I understand, much like how the Harry Potter films led to a real boost in the sale of white owls for pets, and how the Hunger Games is causing a lot of young girls to sign up for archery classes this summer.
I'm buying.
Thanks to the Avengers, shawarma sales have decoupled in the past.
Yeah, I'm glad you said archery for that instead. I was imagining. It's causing a lot of
mixed martial arts.
They're only reporting on the archery classes.
Yeah, a lot of teen girls now are wanting to get into hunting other humans for sport.
We haven't seen people do this since Battle Royale.
So it's high school taken to just its next logical step.
I just thought it was high school.
Well, you went to a crazy school.
Didn't we all?
Yeah,
no,
true,
hers
true.
Was special crazy.
Okay, so...
Is there a story there?
No, there's just a black hole where 4 years used to be.
That's a good way to describe high school. Pretty much. A black hole where 4 years of my life went.
Was that the only person in this room that actually had a good group of friends that were all nerds?
No, I did.
I really enjoyed my high school experience. I mean, our high school is like the only... I always tell people, my high school is the only place you go to where you will find pickup trucks in the lot with both spinners and gun racks. They don't know what they want to be.
That is true.
Kids that are very confused.
Yeah.
What about gun racks on spinners?
Oh my
Spinning
god.
Spinning gun racks.
I think that would have created some kind of...
I don't know. I can't imagine those would be street legal.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that would have created some paradox.
But it sounds like something from a Mad Max movie, actually.
It actually does.
It's the secret to how to cure DC traffic right there.
It's a spinner with a gun rack with spikes on it that has another gun rack on it.
Yeah.
And an auto fire feature.
Caused a lot of accidents. Not as many as the truck nuts, though.
Also, yeah. Like Mad Max, everyone in your high school had that crazy hair.
A lot of leather.
Too much leather. Mm-hmm. A lot of chains, too.
Yeah, Colin, this was after.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Oh, okay. Are we talking about Mad Max or high school life?
Are we talking about Nightmare on Elm Street 2 production?
Are we talking about the mid-90s goth scene?
Yeah. Shush. Shush. Silence you.
Speaking of which, yeah, that's one of the things that's been going on lately. One of the old popular goth... I don't know if you guys were ever involved in the goth scene. I know a lot of nerds in the 90s were...
I think we all had friends who were the same, but
I was kind of.
Did you say I've read about this?
No, I said I have a friend who is still in the goth scene.
I felt really old for a second.
Historians have documented
in the historical record.
I mean, I used to go down to the one club in Baltimore all the time. I forget what it's called.
Oh, man.
Orpheus. Yeah, I used to go down to Orpheus all the time.
But Alchemy reopened.
And stuff like that. Oh, really?
Big DC club for Godson.
Actually, my friend Tim was talking about that. That just reopened.
Yeah, reopened.
I thought Spellbound was the goth club in DC. Or
Spellbound's like a bunch of nerds in a sardine can.
who? Never mind. I don't. Well.
No.
No names.
I was going to name names. I was going. No, I'm just not going to go into that. It's okay.
No, do it.
Are you just not a fan?
I was going to say, a bunch of geeks in a sardine can who think they have a kink fetish because electrical tape on girls is hot.
Okay.
That's Spellbound.
I've heard similar stories, so yeah, I got you.
So Spellbound and Midnight, it's not that they're bad clubs. I mean, assuming you like the clubbing scene in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
The bigger problem is there's 100 people in a space designed for 60 people. And so dancing, I don't know, it makes you look like a Russian doll. Like your arms are at your side, and you're just kind of like bouncing up and down, like a Lego man. You're dancing like a Lego man, just kind of like hopping up and down, and that's it. Wow. There's no room for any.
Oh my God.
I feel like I've never been to a rave, like at an anime convention or something, that was not just wall to wall humans. I tried at the last Otakon I went to. Mm-hmm. Dancing was this formless conga line that was like in the shape of an Ouroboros.
Actually, it was funny.
That's really the best you could do.
To me, clubbing in general isn't so much dancing as it is just friction.
Actually, I went to Otakon back in 2007, and it was funny because it was kind of like Danceception because they had a room for raving, and then they had a room on the side, and it was like, here's the rave, and here's the ultra rave.
Yep.
Here's the rave on acid, and like, I walk in that room, I'm literally there for 30 seconds, I walk out, I'm going, because it's just this huge, like, room of stank and sweat.
Ultra rave?
Yes.
And the ultra rave?
Yeah,
and definitely ultra rave, Limbo.
It felt like being Link going to the fire temple, and didn't have the red shirt on. I was like,
I just want to point out, you said a rave on acid. That's kind of redundant.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I'm not talking about like being at a rave on acid.
Yes, not if you're talking about a con rave. Because the con rave is there's an outside room where there's a lot of people looking kind of awkward going, oh God, I didn't think this through. I haven't danced since high school. Or, oh God, I'm in high school. Dancing is terrifying. And then there's the inside where people are trying to dance, but there's way too many people.
Still a lot of sweaty, hyperventilating.
The cure for that, though,
just go to a club and just be like,
glow stick staff. That'll clear space around you real damn fast, and then you'll get kicked out.
You know what? That's not as awesome as you. We tried gluing a bunch of glow sticks together and making a staff out of it.
I mean, you take like a clear, hard plastic
and fill it with glow stick.
Yeah, or if you want to get really fancy with it, fill it with LEDs and program it and all sorts of other stuff.
When this glow stick staff broke, we decided that they should turn into like glow stick throwing knives, and that was far worse because evidently when glow sticks break, especially when they hit something and shatter, you can't get that shit out for anything. I mean, like, and it's like you killed the Predator or the aliens, like, across the wall. You just see, like, arterial sprays of glow stick.
Oh, God.
See, I can normally ignore this at cons. Do they usually hold the raves on different nights than the formal balls of, like, Otakon and Anime USA? And
I don't know that I've ever noticed if cons had both.
I was going to say, I don't think Otakon's ever had, like, a formal ball. I think it's just straight-up raves, and that's it.
Well, no, actually,
which one did we go to this year that had, like, formal dress required?
No, that was Masquerade. They do Masquerade. Mm.
There's that. I was trying to think. There was. It was not. Ah, oh, not Magfest.
Was it Magfest?
No.
Yeah. MarsCon.
No, it was
at National Harbor, and it was the one I made it to.
Catsicon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because that's the one where I got really hopelessly lost. I am down a hallway that's between two like collapsible ballrooms with the partition doors. I don't even know where this hallway goes. It's made of partition doors. There's one guy sitting there who's staff. And I took, like, four more turns down this labyrinth, and all of a sudden I'm in a dance lesson. And then I turn around and go into another room, and I'm in, like, a fight club of cosplayers.
I want to see that.
It was amazing. Hey, I have tons of photos up.
That's okay.
Awesome.
That's okay. I was trying to get back down to Magfest, and I ran into the gingerbread man from Shrek, so I was like, what?
You take two more turns, and out of nowhere, you see the two girls from The Shining. Come play with us.
And then Narnia.
God.
So, did I ever tell you the guys about how I accidentally almost blinded that dude? So that's Magfest. Magfest.
I wouldn't know. Magfest for me is a very muffled memory of standing next to the stage, going, "Please turn around for 5 seconds so I can get the side of your head in a picture instead of the back of your
skull." And
will
it endanger your clearance to tell the story on a podcast?
Were you at MagFest this past year?
Yes. Yeah.
So were we.
I think
I mentioned that to you when we met up Art of Video Games.
Oh, we love MagFest.
We were actually playing in the side room, the jam room.
The jam space.
Cool. That was a trip.
We were playing on the, I was playing on this small little drum set that somebody brought, and it looked like it was so cute.
Drum set.
So for Magfest, did you guys check out the panel for, what was it?
This is proof that we've been to too many cons.
What is the greatest movie ever, and why is it
Die Hard? Why is it Die Hard? Yes.
So we had five, because we're the main three people for DC Geeks, but there's a lot of people that do guest writings and do other stuff for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, but I'll let you finish your story first.
So there's maybe seven or eight people total that do various stuff with DC Geeks. They're just not, like, I guess the closest to full-time that we are, as dedicated or as time-intensive as we are.
Gotcha.
Okay.
We had a lot of them out. We must have been like five or six people from the do for DC Geeks stuff there. And a lot of our friends were working staff for that. One of our buddies gives all of us a text message saying, "Hey, the Proto Men are going to be so-and-so, so-and-so." All of us at the Die Hard panel, different parts of the room, we all stand up at the same time and go, and we bolt out of the room, like it's on fire.
Yeah.
The guys look me in the eye, and they're like, "What the hell?"
And I'm like, "I'm sorry." None of us were sitting with one another. We had all just showed up at this panel independently. We all take a minute, kind of look pensive, look down at our buzzing phones, have this shocked, wide-eyed look, and then run. If you're near the Capitol and you see that happen, you should just run. That's how that goes.
It must have looked like we were the Avengers or something. If we got a secret call.
I'm pretty
it's
sure.
It's morphin' time!
Yeah, just here.
There we go.
Yes.
That show is awful.
What is your animal?
We are VR.
So did you know that's the same show?
VR Troopers?
VR Troopers.
Actually, it was a different Japanese Sentai show, but it...
But it's the same series.
Yeah.
Because Power Rangers, VR Troopers, and Big Bad Beetleborgs were all part of Super Sentai.
Yep.
And
I remember the Beetleborgs.
That bothers me.
Wait, did you say Hentai?
No, Super I said Sentai.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
It's really crappy, so it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for ruining my childhood, asshole.
It's not his fault. Other people ruined it a long time ago.
Yeah. Actually, I have a funny story about Power Rangers.
As soon as you get on, you're going to watch it.
When I was 5, 6 years old, I actually went to the Power Rangers show in Aurora, Colorado, because they were doing a live tour. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of did this Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell kind of thing, because... at the end of the show, they have this giant inflatable Lord Zedd that comes out, right? And he's like, "Power Rangers, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
we salute you, a half-inflated Dark Lord."
So when I was a little kid, my brothers and I have two brothers, one older, one younger. We would play Power Rangers, and what that meant was that we would
go outside and kick each other's asses.
No, it was
what we did.
More oddly specific. We would take turns jumping off a bed and going, ugh! Because to us, Power Rangers was just every shot of them flying like an explosion. Mm-hmm. Or that's the show, is always people flying.
And on occasion, they punch the pachinko machine.
Plus, that makes no sense, too, because, like, look, they jump out of the Megazord when the Green Ranger goes in and beats their asses. That thing has to be at least 50 stories high. Yeah. Wouldn't they die? No, they made them awesome. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Very supple bones or something. They just,
but it's just like, they do this like kind of swan dive. It's like, whoa!
Mostly getting hurled through the air by an explosion.
I think what it is, they have those Aperture Science shoes.
Hey, yes.
So, oh, now that commercial is stuck in my head. Just try to get near that face.
Is it just me? Is it just me, or were the real heroes of the early seasons of Power Rangers Bulk and Skull?
That's just you. Later on...
Let him defend himself.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They were certainly...
You're wrong. Moving on.
For one thing, they were certainly around longer than almost any other actor on the show.
They were staples. They
had character arcs. Like, you know, they learned and bettered themselves.
I don't know if they were the main heroes, but they definitely seemed to... Like, if what you're saying is true, then yes, they were more of the center of the story, because the story kind of went along with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Zordon.
Zordon
was there till
two or three seasons, right?
No, Zordon was there for a while. He was there for Turbo. He was there for
Which Zordon are we talking about? He was there for Turbo. Are we talking about Zordon or Black Zordon from VR Troopers?
We're not talking about Black Zordon. We're talking about this.
We know too much about Power Rangers.
Not every conversation is about Black Zordon.
Actually, no.
Every conversation is about Black Zordon.
Hold on. If I remember correctly,
Megan connection.
He's there through Zeo. He goes missing. And then around, like, Lost in Space or Lost Galaxy, they find him, and that entire story arc is them trying to find Zordon. So, like...
Why do you know this?
Because I was a Power Rangers fan growing up.
Can I make a case for Team Rocket being the protagonist? So, no, I'm just kidding.
No, you were wrong.
Well, I was going to say, I hated Ash, so yeah, I could totally...
I could get behind
Team Rocket being the protagonist.
Ash, Misty, and Brock were all incredibly unlikable.
Yes.
All for different
reasons. They're
all douchebags.
Not to mention, how stupid were they? It's like, oh, look, here's a guy with blue hair, and here's a girl with pink hair. Any similarities?
And they're wearing Viking helmets.
We'll trust them. Why not? You know?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It's Team Rocket. No shit. All
right.
I have no idea. I want to see an alternate fiction for that, where they talk about how war happens between nations in that world.
Because
I bet dollars get you donuts. Or titties or something. Where
dollars to titties.
Dollars to donuts. Wait, nobody likes donuts. We got to beef up this.
Donuts to titties?
Up the ante! Yeah. Look, they're the same shape.
Can't we just get it all in one place?
Metropolis, crispy...
Dunkin' Donuts opens a strip club.
Scooter.
That's blown my mind.
Like, you're going to have to make money off of DC Geeks.
I wouldn't buy donuts.
I'm throwing money at it, but nothing's happening. Why not? You buy hot dogs from a gas station.
Not a topless donut shop. Topless Krispy Kreme franchise.
That's it. I'm going to form my own podcast for donuts and hookers. Forget the podcast.
Well, it's funny because a couple of years ago, I had an idea for a business that was going to make me Uku Bucks, and it was just called Drive Through Tits. Raise your hand if you'd like to hear about Drive Through Tits.
We're all raising our hand. I'm listening to the podcast.
I may have earlier, back before I started the internet, but please go on.
You started the internet?
He's Al Gore.
Oh, you don't even need to hire anybody. You just put up a screen and you scroll through Reddit Gone Wild posts. That's all you need. How long they get to park in front of that screen, that's how many dollars they put in.
Well... That saved you some money. That's certainly going to save a lot of lawsuits.
That's the value menu.
Compared to my idea. a lot of police calls compared to my idea. But the idea that I had, and this was me and my buddy Tim were driving around at like, I don't know, 3 in the morning. We just had some 7-Eleven taquitos, and our creative juices were really flowing. And I thought...
Because 7-Eleven taquitos do that to you.
I thought they give you cancer.
I'm still here. I'm still kicking. Just don't do it anymore.
Indigestion.
Okay, so we're driving around. And I'm like, you know what, Tim? I really wish there was a convenient late night option for tits. And just like, what do you mean? I'm like, I wish there was a place we could just, yeah. And you're just like, I really just want to like see some tits right now, but I don't want to go through the hassle of going to a strip club
The glitter never comes out.
It's like a, you know, the drink minimums. I just want to real quick, just see some tits. And the idea is it's basically like a drive-thru, like, any fast food drive-thru. You drive up to your order, and the box has a menu. What kind of different tits you want. Like, what size tits, what kind of nipples. If you want, the little ones, or, if you want... Just
the peach and plum set.
You might be able to work out a bulk deal for real doll.
I love your hand gesture for little tits.
I thought it was little nipples.
Little nipples.
Oh, it's okay. Nipples, it's okay.
It's
just
be different little, or if it's the big areolas and stuff. But
by the way, Scooter,
it's a half dollar.
Congratulations for discovering one of our motifs. Describing something that we do visually for our listening audience.
Yes. Visual
reference in the audio podcast.
Yes, you select, you have it your way. Just like
lettuce or no lettuce. Choice is yours.
Whoa. And then you drive mayo
or
up.
No mayo is the issue.
Fast food or titty, fuck.
Right, so you
fast food titty fuck.
Oh god!
Even better, everybody who's on this actually works at a fast food restaurant.
I like to order the Kaiser roll.
See, but it sounds like what you're describing
the freshest
is
meat
a website
between two buns.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so you select what you want, and then you drive up to the window, and just the girl leans out the window, and you just have I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute to just, play with tits, and then that's it. You leave. That's it.
They have bars like that in Japan, actually.
Really? I think
why does that not surprise
you? You just pay the topless waitress to sit on your lap, and you get to play with her tits while you have your drink.
That, oh my...
See, I was thinking you were going
to
go a different
way. Be right back, go to Japan.
All
right. No, Japan is scary.
Yeah.
They used to have the vending machines with the used panties.
Well, that's
they
what everybody
still
does
do?
That. I was just thinking
pretty
much...
No, they took
much...
it out. I heard they took it out because too many foreigners were complaining.
Well, no, I also thought maybe...
Damn foreigners!
That's also why eBay no longer...
So many cases of pink eye recorded.
Items.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well,
yeah.
But this potato chip looks like Mother Teresa.
Yeah. No, I mean, people who were just completely broke, would take... there were girls taking pictures of themselves and in posing in knee-high socks or running around on a treadmill in knee-high socks, and then they'd sell them on eBay for $50.
Oh, wow.
The knee-high socks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But there was a whole panty subsection as well and a bra subsection.
That, which of course has been hella shut down as far as I know.
From what I understand, if you take any fetish that's in America, double it, triple it, and then double stamp it, and that's Japan, because it's just
I was thinking automated or robot ties it.
I was thinking ass zombies.
It's just
put it in a vending machine.
Pretty much.
Did you see that trailer? Japanese movie for ass zombies?
What?
What?
It came under the posting of Japan still fucks weirds me the fuck out. It was a movie about, you see all the, I didn't understand what they were saying, but you just see these young Japanese girls in a rural setting, and their pain faces like stomach cramps, and one runs in the outhouse, and gets up back off the toilet, and a zombie comes out of the poo that apparently was in her and giving her cramps in the first place. And
that's not my job.
Then you just see it flips to a scene of 30 or 40 poo covered zombies coming after the young girls who are stumbling through the field. It's just wow.
And the zombies are less than 6 inches tall.
No, they're full size. Okay. Somehow they grow to full size after coming out of your colon.
Is this
you have to pay for this with some type of
hold
advertising.
On.
I'm guessing Preparation H will be up to the challenge.
Let me ask you a question. Is this some kind of unofficial sequel to Dogma?
I hope not.
Mini Golgothans.
I was thinking less that and more, we started with zombie sheep and look where we've gotten ourselves.
Oh god, yeah.
No,
Black sheep.
Wow.
That tagline alone made me want to watch that movie. Yeah. There are 10 million sheep in New Zealand and they're pissed off.
Okay, here, let me tell you about this movie. My girlfriend studied abroad in New Zealand, mm-hmm. and... she came back and told me about this Black Sheep movie, and she's like, no, people in New Zealand find it legitimately terrifying. They actually find it really scary, because, it's true, they really are, 8 sheep to every person, and to them, that's a legitimate fear.
I'm reminded of John Stewart's America book, the book that came out, mm-hmm. and his factoid on New Zealand was that there are 10 sheep for every orc.
That's very true.
I was That's thinking, a legitimate New Zealand scary makes thought. Me think of, at one point, during grad school, a bunch of us went down to a symposium in Virginia Tech.
Love symposia.
No, this gets better. The keynote speaker was a guy talking about New Zealand sharpshooters taking out goats from the Galapagos Islands. And I was just like, I'm awake. I woke up at 4 in the morning. Get down here for this symposium.
So they're in the Galapagos Islands and they're sniping goats in New Zealand.
No, it's New Zealand sharpshooters. Okay, let me back up. Okay. So, Darwin goes to the Galapagos. Other people, like Darwin, they go to the Galapagos. They're hungry. They bring things like goats and other animals who proceed to trash the place. There's so little vegetation that, you know, there's parasites that kill off all his finches. There's no shade, so turtles and tortoises are baking in their shells and dying off. And rather than going, oh, that's kind of interesting and ironic because you have this nice preserved area that's getting trashed, they decided they were going to try and do something about it. So they take New Zealand sharpshooters, put them in helicopters, and took out every single motherfucking goat on those islands.
This sounds like something familiar. I think it was a furry convention.
I don't know if they hire. I don't know if the furries hire sharpshooters to come to their conventions.
Wow, that is...
And I was just like, what? And he's like, they committed... this guy, I've no joke, he looks like he's about 70, 75. He's, you know, distinguished professor-looking type. And he just looks deadpan at the audience and goes, they committed goat genocide.
Goaticide!
I was like, oh my god, this is the best. I was like, I'm so glad I'm recording this.
Wait, you have a recording of this?
I don't have the intellectual property rights to it. I couldn't post it anywhere,
I still want to hear it.
I have to say, that was an awesome story. And considering that the only other story I can think of that was inspired by the tragic transplantation of fauna to other island nations is Night of the Lepus with Dr. McCoy.
I was about to mention that, right?
Yeah. I am glad I heard that story. That's far more badass.
You know what? I don't know if I've heard that or seen
it. Seriously?
It's also the largest, I think it's the largest landmass to have successfully exterminated a four-legged mammal from the entirety of the, by
Galapagos,
humans. Yeah.
Sounds like a real nightmare.
Galapagos?
I see what you did there.
That was awful.
Tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel, Galapagos.
They're back and they're pissed off.
After wrestling.
Half goat, half tortoise.
Galapagos versus shark goat.
All cop.
Yes, there were three
Medigo.
Of them.
Ninja Turtles.
Medigo versus Sharktopus.
Yes. I would watch that, I'm ashamed to say. I might watch Megagoat versus Sharktopus.
If you see one movie this summer, you must not get out much.
So what do people feel about the Ninja Turtles movie coming out? That's an appropriate response.
Wait.
I yield the floor to Brian Massey for the next 30 minutes.
We will stay.
I was
him,
just gonna...
Massey, he about ready to choke a bitch out.
Can we get
this.
The 20-second blurb about that?
This is
ahead,
one person.
This is all you.
Is the biggest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
I can already predict
don't,
what Brian's going to say. He's just
don't you, try not to yell into the mic.
Okay.
Fuck.
That's it. That's the entire speech.
Printable words, spider.
Let me hold on. Let me collect myself. Okay.
Yeah, so you drink for a second?
if you spit on me, I'm going to have to hurt you.
No spit takes.
Is that whiskey?
Thank you. Okay, here we go. Fuck Michael Bay. Fuck his production company. Fuck his team. Fuck his movies. Fuck his explosions. Fuck his money. Fuck his wife. Fuck his life. Fuck his children. Fuck whatever that he's fucking doing. Fuck his ideas. Fuck his Ninja Turtles bullshit. Fuck his alien Ninja Turtles bullshit. And fuck anything that he has to do with in the future. Thank you.
So, there's one good thing that came out of Michael Bay and the Transformers movies.
They're going to stop making Transformers movies?
No, they're not. They're making another one.
I will say something.
Yeah, it's called Battleship.
I'm a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, too. And I really hate Michael Bay. I think like his best stuff was The Rock, just because that was really ridiculous. And it's a great movie.
And you know the best thing about The Rock? The villain, the U.S. military.
Exactly.
In a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
The military were the heroes in Transformers. And yet they were the villain in one of his previous movies.
The military guys looked like dumbasses in Transformers.
That was,
I was like,
he was Ghostbusters, right?
It actually made me uncomfortable how awkward and horrible the super secret military guys were in that show. Like, they show up and I was just like, oh, this is bordering on, like, it gives me that same sort of embarrassed, horrified feeling I get, and that makes me can't watch things like Meet the Parents Because I'll just get halfway through the movie, turn it off, and go, no. No, you have to kill yourself. You cannot redeem yourself in this plot. Your only answer is to go into the dad's bedroom and shoot yourself in the face. Yeah. Not that I'm advocating suicide of people who embarrass themselves.
Only if you're
unless you're Michael Bay.
The problem I think is because Michael Bay does too much coke, and he has to keep on feeding his buzz, so he keeps on creating the most ridiculous stories, and then he has a coke hookup with the executives that give him the money, so he keeps on doing it. Yes, please do it, so we can get some more coke money.
I am going to say a prayer for future generations. First of all, I hope that we never get another Ninja Turtles movie out of him. We're gonna have to get this first one, let's just get it over with. I sincerely hope that he never gets his hands on the Thundercats franchise or the Power Rangers franchise, because, dear
knock on wood,
God.
Well, you know what you should know, now that you've said it, it's probably going to happen.
What pisses me off about this...
He'll base it off, the fanfic, A Night on Thundera or something.
Oh, God, let's hope Hasbro doesn't give him the My Little Pony movie.
What pisses me off the most about this is that not only is he changing them into aliens, he's changing their basic introduction story. Period. Mm-hmm. He's completely getting rid of anything having to do with TGRI or the ooze, mm-hmm. which we're all familiar with. He's getting rid of basic character plot points that are so familiar to us, we could recite it backwards. And he thinks that it's going to make the story much better for it. I'm like, no, you can't fuck with a 25-year-old franchise like that.
That just seems silly, because the whole point and the whole thing he's hoping on making money off of is nostalgia, because let's admit it, most of the cartoons we watch had pretty ridiculous fucking premises to start off with.
True.
So why mess with that?
I mean there were already alien
people who pitched that, they thought it was ridiculous. Like a big hairy mop and the princess and then this other guy, it looked really weird. I mean, at first glance. And then it ended up being a big success. But then again, Michael Bay is very reliant on CGI. That's his bread and butter.
The other point I have to make is, why does he have to make the Ninja Turtles aliens? There's already a fucking alien in the cartoon.
There's Krang.
Aliens.
Yeah.
I thought he was like Future Humanity or something.
Even if there's not, there's an episode where there's a bunch of guys from space who come in a flying fucking car.
Brian, I assume there'll be no Master Splinter.
Calm down. Have some dip.
Goosefraba.
Goosefraba.
So you're missing out on the main thing.
Tits,
Michael Bay movies are making really good things to make fun of.
What's the name of the box?
Yeah. You need to sit down, watch while drinking, every Transformers movie, one at a time, and they do an immediate review.
That's a Michael Bay movie.
I don't want to watch them again. That's
your Mom Jabbar for your brain.
Yes.
Yeah, experiencing a Michael Bay movie is...
The Mom Jabbar.
The Mom Jabbar, exactly.
I don't...
I must resist Bay. Bay is the mind killer.
Yes. Pays the little debt that breaks.
I don't want to watch Transformers 2 again.
They finally released an art film.
You can't keep going through that though, because then I will let Bay wash over me and through me. And when
I don't want to watch Transformers 2 again, just because I don't want to watch Whit Wiki's mom get high again. I just don't. I really don't want to watch that shit again.
See, that sounds like a perfect opportunity to make fun. Have you guys seen How It Should Have Ended?
Yes.
How It Should Have Ended for the Transformers 2 movie was fucking fantastic.
I said we fight together!
Exactly. There's some, How It Should Have Ended pulls all the stuff out of big AAA movies that have gone horribly wrong and points out exactly the biggest problem.
Or some that have gone wonderfully right. Because they did take the piss out of Lord of the Rings.
And Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of the How It Should Have Ended people. I think the first show of theirs that I watched was Spider-Man 3. I don't want to. I know I'm risking opening up a lot of wounds here at this table, but
Believe me, there's much bigger wounds festering right now.
I've heard most of you say that you wanted to walk out of Spider-Man 3 at the dance sequence. Yes. And
it's Spider-Man 3, the Sandman story.
Yes, and however, for me, I almost walked out of that movie at the part in which Harry's butler comes up to him and says, "The night your father died, I inspected his wounds, and I could tell with my CSI training that he had died at his own hand." I'm telling you this now instead of 3 years ago, after watching you waste your life in pursuit of the life of a supervillain, because I hadn't said anything in a while.
Dude, you are so fire.
I'm sorry that your best friend threw a grenade at your face and blew it half off. I'm going to be turning in for tonight. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a really incompetent Alfred.
Very soon if you need a hot towel.
It's really horrible about that line. So, like, first of all,
it's like
how the hell could he look at his wounds and tell that he had done that to himself? And if he had known this, why didn't you know? He could have said it any time. He knew all about the snowboarding goblin. He knew all about that, and he just didn't seem to care. And third of all, the entire point of that scene is to galvanize Harry to side with Spider-Man to rescue Mary Jane, which is something I think he would have done anyway because he's madly in love with her.
So the takeaway lesson is timing services narrative like a stupid whore.
What pisses me off?
It's such an incredibly flawed movie, but that scene stands out like a beacon to me, and I'm like, I felt like I was the only one who noticed that, except for the How It Should Have Ended guys. So kudos to them.
The thing is, that's kind of like Alfred in Batman Forever going up to Bruce Wayne and saying, "Oh, by the way, Jack Napier killed your parents." Like, duh. Nice.
Well, even better. Actually, two parents faked their death, and they're living in the Caribbean right now. The Batman is dead.
All right, well, given how horrible Spider-Man 3 was, you have any hope for the reboot that's coming out this summer?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm of two minds on that. It's like, I want it to be good. When I first read that, what was his name? Dennis Leary as Captain George Stacy. I'm like, one, someone remembers Captain George Stacy. And two, holy fuck. Dennis Leary's going to make an awesome Captain George Stacy. But at the same token, I know that the only reason that movie is being made is so some executives at Sony don't get blamed for the runaway box office success of The Avengers Meet Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that Marvel Studios and Disney don't get the movie rights back of that character back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My feeling is I actually think it looks pretty awesome. I just don't want to encourage them enough. I'm just tired of reboots.
My thing is
two words why that movie is going to be awesome: web shooters.
Yes, thank you. That excited me the most the first time I saw it was mechanical web shooters.
I'm a little bummed about it for a few reasons, though. Here's the only thing: Dylan Baker played
Kirk Connors
mm-hmm. in Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, and he was even referenced in Spider-Man 1. Mm-hmm. He waited all this time, and now some Italian guy is playing the Lizard.
It's Risa Fons. I'm pretty sure he's Irish.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I read he was Italian. Anyways, so
actually, I think that starts
that's messed up. Also, like everybody else here, I am so tired of reboot stories.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that Spider-Man's in high school.
The Hulk.
Do you know what would be really, really ballsy? Would be to do a reboot like this, and instead of clinging to the two leads and milking as many stories as they can out of Gwen and Peter, would be to sack up and break her back like is supposed to happen.
Yes.
If they do that, I will have newfound respect for the reboot.
That's probably
also, they need to jump around, and they need to do stories that have been around for a while that people really genuinely like.
I'd like to see an Oracle storyline in one of these, Batman. It's not going to happen in the Dark Knight series. That's fine.
It's not.
Just give me a series somewhere that isn't...
Like, for instance...
I was talking to... I have a daughter. I took her to see Avengers yesterday. It's her first comic book movie. We did a marathon of, like, Iron Man and Captain America and all that. And was talking to her, though, and it was kind of explaining to her that she's like, "Can I read a comic book? I've never read one." I'm like, "Yes, and you're lucky because you've got like 50 years of stories that have been written for these characters, and some of the years are really bad, and some of the years are amazingly good, and you're lucky because you get to go back and pick out from 40 years of really good stories. You can skip the bad shit and just go through. I wish the studios would do the same thing. Is there's amazing corpus of history for a lot of these characters, some amazing storylines and story arcs. And it's right there, and you know what the amazing ones are because you're seeing hindsight and you're seeing fan reaction. Adapt them. Use them. Stop fucking our memories.
Exactly. Like, I mean, they're already storyboards. I mean, they're beautiful storyboards.
I would say yes and no, because I had a problem with... I did enjoy Watchmen, but I think that there are things that make a good comic book that don't necessarily make a good movie, and so if you
Frank Miller. Frank Miller's basically Frank Miller, besides The Matrix, which
the Shadows suck, by the way,
developed off the comic. But Frank Miller's the only one the artist that they bothered to draw from. They didn't go to anybody else. Mm-hmm. If they went to anybody else, the film industry, in terms of basing off of comics would improve. So there was no variety and such.
Alan Moore?
The Watchmen was Alan Moore. David.
Yeah, Watchmen was Alan Moore.
You're thinking 300, and there's a reason
Frank Miller,
that Watchmen
how many
wasn't
Frank
that
Miller
good.
Frank, 300 and Sin City.
300 Dark Knight Returns.
Warren Ellis had Red, and he's having Red 2. But I mean, he's good, though. Yeah,
that's fun.
Red was
and they're basing
awesome.
Iron Man 3 off his Extremis story.
Let me just ask.
I'm just saying, there's other artists out there.
Let me just ask a question. Who here would love to see a trans Metropolitan movie?
Yes,
that would be fun.
Dude,
they have to do it while Patrick Stewart can still play. You know, they better
hurry. I don't know. I'm pretty sure if you just shave James McAvoy's head again, they can pull it off.
There's plenty of people you can just shave.
We do not need to have a trans Met movie for one reason.
What's that?
We need to have a trans Met TV series. Transmet is too complicated to start with
one movie. Well, it'd be cool to see it on the big screen, but they wouldn't be able to capture.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but isn't there a foreword in one of the issues where Patrick Stewart writes the foreword and he pretty much says, I'm writing this because I was promised that if I did this, that I would get to play him if there was ever an adaptation. I could be misremembering a prior foreword.
I don't remember that, but if that's true, then that's awesome.
I'll have to check that. That could be fan lore.
Okay. I've been wanting to to tell you, Josh, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned that there are so many decades of continuity in these comic series, and thus your daughter is blessed to pick and to be able to go back and just cherry pick the best stories. Thank you for saying that, because just about anybody who's involved in comics at all, either as fans or creators, says that decades of continuity is a horrible, horrible blight that they're stuck with, which is why DC rebooted their entire franchise. So, and that's why Marvel unspooled the Ultimate Universe 12 years ago. And every time I hear that, like, I feel like Lynn Cara, Lewis Lovelock, is the only person I agree with in the ideas that if you want to find a decent story, you have Wikipedia. You can learn about these characters. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to know about the Fantastic Four, you don't have to go back to the '60s and read all of their comics from number one to prepare yourself. I just think that's ludicrous.
Well, to give you an example, where my tastes are, when I was a kid, you know, I would collect different, mostly Marvel. Wasn't much of a DC kid. But one of the things I really look forward to every year was for a few years there, Marvel was putting out basically encyclopedic editions about all their characters, down to the D-listers.
The official handbook of the Marvel Universe?
Mm-hmm. The heroes and the villains. And you get, depending on the character, anywhere from a page to four pages that was background, powers, major story arcs, interrelationships. And as a kid, you know, I realized, I can't collect all these. I don't have that much allowance. I can't. Mm-hmm. But that let me take the things I did love to collect, like Spider-Man and a few others, and see where it all fit in, because I got to see and read about all these other characters, and it gave a sense of wholeness to sort of the Marvel Universe that I got to slot in my favorites to.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's one franchise that could really do for a reboot? The Bible. All right, on that note, I think this episode's starting to run long.
Sorry.
DC Geeks, Josh, Anya, Scooter, thank you so much for joining us.
Don't forget to plug your stuff. Yeah, you can go
I was just about to say, before we end the show and wrap up, you have any future events coming up or other things you'd like to plug?
I would say at the moment, keep an eye on DC Geeks. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. There's, you know, dc-geeks.com. And pretty much if you're trying to find something, just, you know, like podcast.dc-geeks, you know, .com, and it's really easy to find stuff. We try to make it really easily available, and we tend to update.
I have the web page up here, and it looked pretty simple.
Yeah,
we've
just been trying to keep it clean.
Or blog.dc-geeks.com.
Follow us on Facebook.dcgeeks.com, and Twitter. More important than that,
there's always the dash. That's the thing to remember.
There's the dash. Yeah, it's the hyphen there.
More important than that, if you guys ever find out the people in the room and the people across the internet in the future, because this is not coming out live.
Yeah.
If you guys find out about something going on in the DC area that we don't currently have on our calendars, let us know so that we can let everyone else know. And that's the whole purpose of this project, is so that people aren't hoarding knowledge somewhere about, hey, there's this cool ninja fight thing going on in Fredericksburg or something.
Yeah, or a zombie 5K or that sort of thing. And then you hear about it afterwards, and you know, if people come up and they're like, I knew about this event and you didn't put it up. I'm like, well, that is so silly. Why didn't you just tell us so we could tell everybody else?
Yeah, we're tired of things dying in the DC area because no one knew about it. So let us know, and we will tell everybody about your event as long as it's awesome.
Yeah, free advertising for event is pretty much what it boils down to. If you're an event organizer, it's great if they're able to get in touch with us so we can get the official story on stuff.
All right, well, we will have a link to your site on the Castaway Studios site and in the episode description. So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holm.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.